Thanks for checking out the Indivisible Podcast from the Progressive Voices Network. We've got dozens of other podcasts available anytime, anywhere, on demand. Fully searchable on the PV app, SoundCloud, iTunes, and ProgressiveVoices.com. Plus, while you're there, please make a donation to make sure that your progressive voices continue to be heard. It's more important now than ever. This is the voice of the resistance. You're listening to the Progressive Voices Network.
Hi, Indivisibles, and welcome to tonight's Facebook Live. My name is Maria Urbina, and I'm the political director. I can't wait for you to meet our special guest joining us this evening. But first, please do one thing right away, and that is share this Facebook Live with all your friends so they can tune in with us tonight to talk Virginia election results, the 435 program, and what's ahead for Indivisibles as we celebrate not just this win, but build for 2018. Special guest?
Hey, I'm Tom Perriello. I'm the CEO of Win Virginia, which was a pact to flip the House of Delegates, a former congressman from Virginia and a huge Indivisible fan. So excited to be here tonight with some of our heroes.
Hey, thank you. My name's Alicia Jones. I am the senior manager for Virginia Elections. I was fortunate enough to directly work with all of the wonderful volunteers and Indivisible members this past election cycle. But before we get into all of the great stuff we plan to talk about, I want to kick it back over to Tom to introduce our newest Indivisible group.
We have the 188th Indivisible chapter in Virginia, the Liberty Tree chapter in Virginia Beach. So we are going to be putting a dot in the right place there. There we go.
Ooh. All the snaps.
All right. But more than that, I really just wanted to thank everybody in the Indivisible family for the unbelievable performance in Virginia this last week. It wasn't just an election victory, it was an inflection point. It was a real turning point of our sense of what's possible. It was such a clear case of an inclusive Virginia winning out over a politics of hate and of division. And I think the Indivisible family produced over 600,000 phone calls. We had tens of thousands or thousands of door knocks, volunteer hours. Obviously, I met with many of the volunteer chapters inside Virginia that were just tireless in the pouring, freezing rain at the end, but also months ago before anyone was paying attention. But I also know there were so many groups around the country. You know, as someone born and raised in Virginia who's seen, you know, both the worst of our politics and the best, who understands that Virginia was the birthplace of American democracy, but also American slavery, and we've been at the forefront of the best of American traditions and its worst. This was really a victory for the best in us, our aspiration to liberty and justice for all, and it happened through people-powered politics. It happened from people stepping up to run for office, including people like Indivisible founder chapter Wendy Gauditis, who's now going to be a delegate, people like Kimberly Ann Tucker, who fell a little short this year, but absolutely transformed the politics of Virginia Beach and is continuing to just change the world every day. So I just want to thank you as a Virginian for everything you all did and hope that that's going to translate into bigger results across the country now.
Great. Right. Thank you, Tom. And Alicia, why don't you tell us a little bit more? Virginia was the first time that Indivisible engaged in a big way in a state through an electoral investment, and we were so proud of our team there. So we'd love for you to hear more from Alicia and everything that went down there.
Right. I mean, just to echo what Tom shared with us, I mean, Indivisible groups were already engaged in working in Virginia, right? But I mean, in a matter of 6 weeks, me and this incredible team, Abby, Don, Marie, shout out to you guys, Michelle, Michael, and Colin, I mean, we put up probably one of the most amazing efforts that I've ever personally been a part of, all people power driven. We started off by targeting 21 House delegate races. Out of those 21s, 15 were wins. A couple were still in recounts, but, you know, still really, really big movements there. I think the most, the most motivating piece for me, for sure, was having people like Wendy Gauditis and Kimberly Ann Tucker leading the way for us, so that we were able, out of our 187 groups, we were able to directly work with 76 of those groups. Then across the country, we ended up engaging an additional 176 groups to help call in to Virginia, to mobilize, to text, to door knock on election day when it was in the freezing rain, to come out and do trainings about what HD candidates are and how they impact your daily life. So I think one, it speaks definitely to like the power of people, right? And if you ask someone to do something, they'll do it. If you give them the tools, if you give them a reason to do it, they'll keep moving. So I think that was like the I'm going to get all emotional, but the nitty-gritty part of the
thing. Encouraged.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that, you know, it's just an incredible effort. Definitely closed a lot of margins for us in Virginia for this election. And I think what are the first time since 1819 since we flipped this many seats? The last time since 15 seats were flipped in Virginia, and I think that, like, it's pretty impressive and definitely wouldn't have happened without all of you guys watching and then the people here. Yeah.
Thank you, Alicia, and thank you to the team. I just want to echo my gratitude to our entire movement, to this organization, to the people who make up the reasons why we're here. You brought this movement to life, and we are here to do our best to resource it, to respond to it, and to support it.
Yeah.
And in that light, we have launched 435, Indivisible 435, and it really is, in many ways, an homage to all your work to say, when you compete everywhere, you run for office everywhere, you challenge folks who have gone uncontested for years and cycles, we can win. And the movement, the resistance, Indivisible, came out in a big way last Tuesday and proved that that strategy is a winning strategy. And so in that light, we have built indivisible435.org. Please visit it if you haven't. There you will find a movement-wide voter registration tool you can use. You will also find electoral guides. There's one there that we're especially proud of, which is the endorsement guide. Because it speaks to your power as a movement. It speaks to every single group that is now being courted by candidates across the country for their volunteer hours, for their energy, for their door knocks, right? Because you have immense power. And as you've developed this strategy by playing defense, by hitting hard, by holding all members accountable, you have also accumulated tremendous power. And if we are not expending that power with our values in a values-focused way for folks who are showing up for our families, then we will have not used it properly. And so we hope that you will look at the endorsement guide, that you will sit with your groups and think about who are the folks in 2018 that will be really living up to those values and how are you holding them accountable and having sometimes unlocking some of those tough conversations that you might have currently around endorsements. There will also be a voter registration guide that talks you through how to use the tool and a sort of elections 101, right? We love to demystify Congress. Right. Now we're going to demystify elections. And we hope that these resources are helpful to you. And as you're using them, if you're finding this is great, but I'd really love for you to tease out other pieces of the work, we are here to do it. It'll be a rolling launch, so there will be more pieces that are coming out from now until the early parts of next year so that we're getting you everything you need.
And one other reason to get on that right away is that I think there's a real chance we're going to see a lot more retirements from the House. One of the things we saw in Virginia is that open seats are a lot easier to pick up. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in some cases with Foy and Tran, amazing candidates, they were so strong that it actually allowed us to move assets and support to other races. Mm-hmm. So someone told me, one of my old colleagues in Congress, that they imagined 2 to 3 retirements for every seat we picked up in the House of Delegates this year, so that would be, you know, 45 seats or so. So I think people are looking right now, Republicans in Congress, at how big of a lift this is going to be. And they saw a preview last week of, like, do they really want to go down like Gillespie, embracing this incredibly racist, divisive politics and still lose? And seeing how organized people are, that you guys were able to turn resistance power into political power has been a really big deal. So so now is a really good moment to look at the guide and get involved.
Yeah.
Yes, please. And keep running for office.
Right.
It reminds me, we should be giving an amazing shout out. So we're talking heavily about Virginia, but across the country, Indivisibles brought big wins. In Michigan, we had 5 members of Indivisible Michigan win city council seats. Amazing transformation of leadership and power. Indivisible groups in Georgia helped break Republican supermajority in the Georgia State Senate. They flipped the 6th District blue. Indivisible groups in New York invested heavily in Westchester County executive race. They were tenacious in their work, and they are ready for what's next. And in Philadelphia, groups worked to help elect Larry Krasner, a civil rights advocate and attorney for the Black Lives Matter movement and Occupy. So just like major, amazing, amazing transformation of power across the country that we want to be helping to support and moving forward. So we want to allow some time in this discussion for your questions and your feedback as we look ahead. And so please, if you can, start filling in the comments section with your questions around Virginia, 435, Tom's favorite food, you know, what's ahead, Alabama. We are eager to talk with you tonight and to be in community with you tonight.
And share the link as you go.
Yeah. Yes.
Keep building
Keep
the family.
Sharing.
Tom.
Right.
Tom's a hype man.
All the followers.
All right. I feel like we need a little like, oh, we have a question. John in Alabama. There's a lot going on in Alabama right now. How is Indivisible getting involved? What should Democrats be doing to win? Does anyone want to take it? I'm happy to, too.
I can talk about Alabama, but yeah. You can talk about Indivisible probably better. Yeah. So why don't you say what Indivisible's
sure.
doing?
And so we are really excited that as we were launching our 435 program, as we were watching Virginia election results come in, as well as 2017 election results come in from across the country, we had an organizer on the ground in Alabama last week training groups who are on the ground in Alabama on a new canvassing tool. We will have staff support continue for the groups who are on the ground who have been plugged into this race for a long time before last week's developments, and will continue to be plugged in building infrastructure, especially in places where we don't have progressive infrastructure. And so we're really proud of not just the organizing that's happening there, but the groups in Alabama who continue to be real leaders in this movement and extremely strategic in their work. So we'll continue to support them now through the special Senate election.
Yeah, I think wherever you can partner with a local group, the peer-to-peer support was so essential in Virginia, whether that's a texting platform or email platform. Right. I know there's been an effort of folks in Alabama not to over-nationalize the race. That ship may have sailed with everything that's happened, but I think as much as possible where folks can support people that are on the ground, and this thing could still have two or three twists and turns before it's over. I'm a little worried that this issue of not seating is going to become an excuse for people to vote for. So we just need everyone to figure out a constructive way to get involved.
Yeah. The next question is from Pat in New York. How do you see primaries playing out in 2018 between progressive and moderate candidates on the left? Lottie?
Oh, okay. You mean Tom's not taking
too, okay. Too soon.
Actually, you know what? One of the examples we use in the endorsement guide is we point to the gubernatorial race in Virginia because we are really encouraged by how you can have a really inclusive and progressive discussion in a primary, and how competing, getting groups involved, getting the grassroots involved in a competitive race among friends is critical to our movement. It's where you fight for good ideas. It's where you fight for values. I mean, it really sets up your candidate who will emerge as a much stronger candidate, as a candidate who we can all feel really proud about as they compete in even tougher races. Yeah. So we encourage all Indivisibles to not shy away from how we live up to our values and also how we organize around them. And then say the next day, just like Tom P did, can I call you Tom P?
Yeah.
Just like Tom P did, right? He got out and he started knocking on doors, developing new apps for up and down ballot races in Virginia. And it's been said that, you know, no one worked harder than you. And I think that's right. I think folks saw a real unified progressive coalition right. in response to that primary. And that's a great example of how we can model progressive power building across the country and not shying away from our movement's power.
Yeah, we actually looked at some data today. A bunch of groups came together that suggested that contested primaries actually helped in the general election, mm-hmm. not just gubernatorial. This was looking at the delegate races. One of the incredible things this year was races where we couldn't beg someone to run 2 years ago, 4 years ago, had three or four people running in a primary. And a lot of the people that emerged, like Elizabeth Guzman, were not the traditional establishment choices. This was an immigrant from Peru, an SEIU worker, and the kind of campaign she could run authentically, I would argue, was much more progressive and populist, but it was also just a reflection of her and her struggle mm-hmm. and the issues she could speak to so powerfully. So I think that primaries done right can help the party, help force candidates to build a volunteer base and the rest. I do think on the issue of progressive versus moderate, while I am seen as coming from the progressive end, I think those terms are getting redefined very quickly. For example, in this race, Ralph Northam ran very, very strongly on an inclusive platform, an equality platform. He talked about criminal justice reform. He ended almost every stump speech talking about an inclusive Virginia versus a divided Virginia. So I think, and we also saw some of our rural candidates were arguably to the left in a traditional sense, in that they were more populist, but in those areas that plays better with the center. So I think the center itself is a bit of an artificial metric that's changing, but I think we should go out, encourage candidates to run on their most authentic platforms, and then come together in the end.
Sure. Donna in Virginia wants to know, as an introvert, what's the best way to help? Knocking on doors or calling strangers scares me, but I want to be active, so I'll take this one. So I think, Donna, there is a space and a place for everyone in the movement. That's what makes us special and unique, is that we're a collaborative effort and all different types of people come. I mean, you could relay text. You don't ever have to talk to anyone that way unless it's by phone. You could come and be a great comfort captain. We had a wonderful one at our staging location this past election day, but there's so much to do. And I think what's most important is that you know that you're welcome, especially at Indivisible, but I'm pretty sure at all other progressive movements across the country.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah.
Plus three.
So, Mary...
Which is another way you can get involved. Plus three.
Plus
they
three.
Did the postcards. The,
yeah.
See? That's all coming together.
Where do we stand right now on winning the VA House of Delegates, Tom?
So, we're technically at 49-48, unless it's changed since I came on. Yeah. But essentially, we're at 51-49, because the three recounts that are out are there.
Right.
The Shelley Simons race is the one everyone's watching. She's an amazing candidate. And that's down to a 10-vote margin. It's unclear if all the provisionals had been counted or not, but a bunch of people think we have a real chance to flip that, which would obviously take us to 50-50 and a power-sharing arrangement. Josh Cole's also still being recounted, less than 100 votes. That's where the Stafford County Registrar appears to have disappeared this weekend and perhaps reappeared today. So at the moment, it looks like we're kind of at a 51-49, perhaps headed to 50-50. And if you ever need anywhere in the country to say whether your vote matters, we could be in the 10 votes deciding the entire House of Delegates and healthcare for 400,000 people in Virginia.
Molly in Idaho, how do those of us in red rural areas talk to voters? This is a three-part question. I'm in rural Idaho, but in one of the two blue counties in the state, our state legislative district has a flippable seat. The key to winning that seat is to carry the rural, very red part of the district. What can we do to work with these communities?
So, you know, I think there's a three-part plan: show up, listen, and have something to say. And, you know, really, it's not, we've got to run in every zip code. We've talked about this. We need to run diverse candidates in every sense, including professional background, class background, geography, obviously race, ethnicity, et cetera. We actually had some rural candidates in Virginia outperform the top of the ticket. We had the top of the ticket do some great work out there. So I think you can't do it without showing up. One of the things that often happens for me as a white candidate, if I'm going to a black church, the first time I show up, people are pretty skeptical of me too. They think I'm just there to get a vote. But it's the second or third time you show up that people start to think you really mean it.
Yeah.
And the same thing's true, I think, with our rural outreach. We need to be thinking of this in multiple election cycles where they hear us again and again, being willing, in my mind, to stand against corporate power and particularly corporate monopoly, to give everyday folks a chance, issues of clean air and clean water and the rest.
Yeah.
So we can win in these areas. I've won in these areas, but you got to show up, you got to listen, you got to have something to say.
I think to add to that, I think we need to be super intentional about building relationships, right? That's a big part of our movement. Mm-hmm. Organizing, it should be a big part of the people that we elect to represent us. And that is, you know, like you said, showing up more than once, showing up all the time for people, not just in the visits you do, but also in the policy that you put forth and the things that you speak out and the groups that you partner with. I think those things are also things that we should consider and be super intentional about.
One of the things that happens when you listen, too, just as an example, Northam just got elected on a very strong platform of 2 years of debt-free community college.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that comes from listening, while we often start with four-year university, which needs to be made more affordable, frankly, two-thirds of the community thinks we're not talking to them, including about half of our own base that's more likely to use a community college or a 2+2 system. So when policies come out of those spaces, then I think we can put together priorities that, even if it's a small tweak, just sounds very different in terms of the priorities we bring to the table.
For sure.
The only thing I'd add there is perhaps more from like a tactical or strategic approach. One of the things we've seen across the map, largely from the Indivisibles who have been in touch, is that especially in those red turfs where there is so much infrastructure lacking because either the party apparatus isn't there, candidates haven't been really competing for your vote, there is an amazing space for you to take up and be really the leaders of your community that you already are. One of the reasons this movement is really special is what we've heard from many of you is that you've come out and realized how many of your neighbors actually share so many of your values and your stories. And so to that point, I would say continue being in sharing space with each other, continue finding time to be together as much as you can. I know some of the red districts might be more rural and perhaps finding creative ideas around, you know, what makes sense in your turf. But please do realize that the conversation, the way it's shifted where we are now and the way you've all expanded the map is because you've put into play red districts, purple districts, rural districts, urban districts, suburban districts. So I hope that you find a lot of power and agency in that, because that is really, really powerful. Right. And that's why the 435 program is as such. And we will be rolling out through the 435 different resources that hopefully can speak to what are some ideas and tactics in a red district versus a blue one versus a purple one, and similarly, and perhaps in a rural district that might have different challenges. So please be on the lookout for that. And if you have ideas that have worked for you that would be good for other Indivisibles to hear, please do share them in the comments section.
And Marianne from Portland wants to know in that regard, what partners will you be working with on 435?
Great question, Marianne. So we should flag that in Virginia, our texting program and our call program included MoveOn.org and DFA, and we're really proud of the collective impact we had as three organizations during really key GOTV times. And so I would point to that in Virginia. So we already work with a lot of amazing partners in the issue advocacy space, and we'll continue to work with those partners as they pivot to electoral work as well. We know that Indivisibles are throwing down everywhere. You are part of our movement. You're part of other movements. You've been in the trenches in every part of the movement. And so we welcome your partnership with other groups, and we hope to find the different sort of state electoral tables across the country and help you identify who those local partners are most critical to your work. In places where there are sort of those coalitions already, we want to be helpful in identifying them. In places maybe where there is not as much perhaps progressive or grassroots organizing, we want to help you develop those sort of kind of broader, more regional structures for electoral engagement.
Cassie from Louisiana, do you see this as a movement led by women, and will that translate to greater turnout among women or more female candidates?
That's an amazing question. I think it's no doubt that the resistance has been led by women, and we're really proud of that. This is absolutely an inclusive movement, but the way in which women have responded, either by running for office, many of them first-time candidates, out fundraising, engaging,
consistently showing up.
Raising their hands across the country has demonstrated a real stark contrast to what happened last November, in a real response that could not be ignored, that was cemented last Tuesday, and that I think will only continue to grow in enthusiasm this next cycle. And so it's even within our own movement, as we look at the Indivisibles who have run for office, largely have been women in the movement. And so, you know, our movement, we are here to show up for everyone, and we realize that my existence, my well-being is tied in yours. And likewise, and so there's room here for everyone. But absolutely, it's been amazing to watch the leadership come out of the resistance that's largely been led by women.
Well, not just any women, diverse women, too.
Yes.
I think it's really important to note, we just elected the first Latina in Virginia and the second Latina, and the first two Asian-American women in the House of Delegates, the first trans woman in the House of Delegates.
Yeah.
We saw women who were social workers and doctors, the first public defender in the history of the House of Delegates, Jennifer Carroll Foy, who was also one of the first African-American women ever to make it through VMI. So just an incredible set of women who I think represented geographic diversity, racial diversity, you name it, up and down the aisle. It's going to make our House of Delegates a better place. So we're really excited to see that in who runs, but also who's been running a lot of these community groups as well.
Right. And what an incredible testament to future generations, right? To have women to look up to and women to see in those positions and roles. I think that's super exciting too. Charlotte in DC, will you be coming out with a guide on how to help people get the ID they need to vote?
That is a great question. There are so many people in this space who are coming together to make sure that Americans have access to the polls, that they have the support they need, so that there are not more barriers. There are amazing groups. I went like that because there are some amazing groups who are doing some work. I want to say Spread the Vote is a partner that we're in touch with. They've done amazing work out of Virginia. They help individuals who do not have voter IDs get their voter IDs.
Yeah.
so that they not only can become voters, but so that they can stay in a shelter, so that they can have access to a whole other quality of life set of resources that are so important to their lives. And so we are going to be looking at ways to build out curriculum around voter ID, voter engagement, around just the kind of pillars to civic engagement. And we'll be working with key voting rights and voter protection partners in the space.
Yeah. Marcella, when we donate to Indivisible 435, it goes to ActBlue. Is that correct? And how much of that do you get? So yes, ActBlue is the donation platform that we use here. They do take a small transaction fee, but through ActBlue, this is the best way to donate to our program.
And that's true of a lot of candidates as well.
Yeah.
It's a very user-friendly platform.
Cool.
And one that we should note that ActBlue is actually, they are a non-for-profit and they are progressive, in the progressive space. And so just know that they are a friend of the movement.
They're not ACT red or blue. They're ACT blue.
They're ACT blue. That's right.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
All right. Stephanie had a question about captions. We had closed captions within 48 hours of posting the video.
Yeah. And you guys should share. Chris, we have accomplished a historic and amazing victory in Virginia. Yes, we have. How do we in our local party committees keep up the momentum moving into 2018? Can the Virginia victory serve as a model and example for the National Democratic Party?
So let me start on the National Democratic Party. I really want to give Tom Perez a huge shout out. They were, and Keith Ellison as well. They were incredibly active in Virginia. They seem extremely committed to this idea of running for every office in every zip code. And we've been hearing that for 10 or 12 years, but this year it really happened. And I think it happened partly organically and from the resistance groups combined with the caucus and the party taking it seriously. But they were out across Virginia. They seem serious about this. They're also serious about the new technology. There's frankly been some resistance from some areas to some of these newer tactics, and they seem to get it. So, the DNC, the new DNC does seem committed to this. The other thing I just want to mention about the support after the election is, you know, it's important for groups to understand that Election Day is halftime, not the end of the game. Mm-hmm. We just elected 15, maybe 16 new members on very progressive platforms. Most of them took, for example, the No Dominion Money Pledge in Virginia. They need our support because the sharks are circling now. They have to go into governing, and it's very important that we not forget about the General Assembly sessions in each of our states coming up. So it's hard for us to juggle all of this, but we got to focus on that next election. But we really want to deliver those results legislatively that change people's lives, because that's ultimately what we want and what helps us in the next election.
Yeah. That's right. And I would just add, and as Indivisibles, we've talked a lot about this, right? We are a strong independent movement. We exist outside of the party apparatus, and we believe that that's really important as a movement, because not only do we want to be building really strong local turfs across the country in all 435 districts, but we want to make sure that this movement continues and always remains led by all of you, and led by the grassroots. We absolutely want to engage in conversations with allies and partners in the movement, and that obviously includes party leadership and strategy folks, but we have taken a really stark line to build a movement that's powerful, that endures not just this election, but future elections, and we will be looking to all of you. We take our cues from you.
Right.
So we will continue to look to all of you to keep this movement powerful, to keep growing it, and we will be supporting you through tools and guidance and strategic advice. And so I hope you don't mind my saying that, but I think it's been something we've been really proud of, is to build a strong movement that absolutely is talking to all of our friends, but is not afraid to hold our friends accountable throughout the cycle. So we are wrapping up here. And we have a final question from Paul. We are in a solidly blue New Jersey district and volunteered for this year's legislative election in a neighboring swing district. That congressional district has many progressive groups. Do you have suggestions for how to select the best partners to work with in next year's congressional elections? So it sounds like you're already maybe working with an organization that is prioritizing districts with perhaps more desirable electoral outcomes or battleground outcomes. So, we understand that some folks are getting involved now and have been getting involved before, and we encourage that. We also do want to point you all, I'll repeat again, that we want to point you all to some folks who have been doing voter engagement work in the trenches for a long time across the map. There are folks in some states that already have sort of these coalitions and convening tables around voter engagement, so that you know sort of you know, what the turf is, where is everyone knocking, so that we're not, you know, being duplicative. So we will be kind of rolling out where some of those key partners are in a rolling basis, because as you can imagine, there's a lot of partnership tables to point to across the map.
Yeah, no, just one thing I would echo is, you know, I think that movements change the world and politicians show up to cut the ribbon. And what we have is an effort, but really is where politicians have to work within the sense of what's possible, but movements change our sense of what's possible. And I think what happened in Virginia was very much a grassroots movement effort to change our sense of what was possible in terms of flipping the House, in terms of being able to run and win a governor's race on a big margin on what I would call a solidly principled progressive platform. I think we're seeing that around the country. So I think, you know, we also see the domino effects. Run in every district for every office with diverse and dynamic candidates and help get them the capacity early, because I think one of the keys in Virginia was that some of those races were taken off of the board, and that allowed us to start shifting. When instead we play defense on a few, we think narrowly, then we put a target on those races and everyone can focus in on the Republican side and we never get beyond that. So as you choose in New Jersey or elsewhere which races to look at, if it is a race that looks like it's more in the win column, make sure we get it into the win column early, and then we can be moving again more broadly as we go forward. But this was definitely an election that changed our sense of what's possible, and I think Indivisible and the broader efforts deserve a lot of credit for that.
Thank you, Tom. That was, I think that was a really great closing and great advice. So thank you all. Stay engaged. Check out Indivisible 435. And thank you so much for your commitment. Thank you so much for your commitment to this movement, to each other, and to building a more inclusive 2018.
Woo. Congrats, Virginia.
Yes. Yes, Virginia.
Take action and hold Congress accountable. This is Ezra Levin on the Progressive Voices Network, asking you to join the millions who decided to become part of the movement to resist Trump's agenda. Check out indivisibleguide.com to start resisting on your home turf. Keep listening for more ways you can get involved.